everybody tonight. Just thinking about that hymn, what a wonderful thing it is if we be in such a safe and sure condition as to be hidden as Moses was in the cleft of the rock. And as Paul says, that our life is hid in Christ, who is the rock Christ Jesus. And that's the safest place to be in all situations. We thank Him for His mercy to us and His grace. We want to pray for those that are sick. And always, as the Scripture says, we have the sick, the poor, the hurting always with us. We pray for each one of them. We pray for Paul and Reed and for others that are undergoing trial. We pray that the Lord's will would be done in every situation and that He would be pleased in our day, whatever days we have to call out some of His sheep and bless them with His salvation. We thank Him for His mercy to us, new every day. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Our Father, we come in this hour as those who in themselves are so unworthy of the least of Your blessings, even temporal blessings, but Lord, most especially, not worthy of the least of all blessings that are in Christ. We just, in ourselves, we are nothing, have nothing, can do nothing. And as we say as Paul, that we are what we are by the grace of God. If we are Your people, if we have hope of heaven, if we have a righteousness that You'll accept, it is all because of Your grace to us in Him. And we come this evening with thankful hearts and prayerful hearts, I pray, that we might be able to enter into the things of Christ. There's so many distractions in this world, so many cares and burdens that lay heavy on our heart. But Lord, those things, those very things that we are often anxious of, are just in themselves evidence of Your goodness and Your mercy to us. We're weary because You've given us a job, a place of work and provision. We're worried about loved ones often, but it's because You've given us them for our relationships and our joy in this world. Most everything, Lord, we often find that You give to us. We're like Adam and Eve in the garden. We run and hide from You as they did in the trees, those very trees that were meant to bless and to garnish the garden. We ask that You would forgive us and make us mindful of Your own self, that we would cast all our cares upon You in the sure knowledge that You care for us and do for us and are mindful of us every minute and every second even of this day, or we would be utterly destroyed and we would self-destruct if it were not that You were mindful of us every moment. We thank You for that. We pray that You would cause Your gospel, Your pure gospel as it's preached by some in this world and declared for Your glory's sake and for the comfort and good of Your sheep, we pray that You would cause it to run well, that it would accomplish the purpose whereunto You sent it, to glorify Your name and to call out Your sheep in this world and make known to them what You, in great mercy and grace, have done for them. We pray that You would, in this hour, by your Spirit, quicken our hearts. Give to us that faith to believe and that understanding without which we can know nothing as we ought. We pray that in these days you would just speak to our hearts, make manifest the reality of your truth in us by your Spirit, call to our remembrance those things of your word and make them precious to us and comfort us and give us hope in this world. We thank you for all blessings that we receive by your gracious hand in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name tonight. Amen.
Hymn number 497. Yeah.
want you to turn back tonight to the book of Hebrews. I can't seem to get out of this book of Hebrews. If you would turn with me to chapter 7. The apostle, as he speaks here of the Lord Jesus Christ, says in verse 20, "And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest." For those priests, speaking of those Old Testament priests, were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, "The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered or allowed to continue by reason of death. Their priesthood ended, every one of them, because they died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, he ever lives to make intercession for them, for those that he represents. I'm afraid that many people have a wrong view of Christ's present intercession for his people. I looked up the word here that is used for intercession, and it's actually a compound of two Greek words that don't mean anything like you would think, because of our common view of what intercession is all about. It means to fix a position. That's the one word. A fixed position. And it also means to hit the mark. In other words, it's a fixed position which has hit the mark, or something like that. And I see that as I read all these passages about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it always seems to mention that he ever lives, that he has an unchanging priesthood, that he lives forever. But most people think of Christ in this intercession as having to persuade the Father to do this or that for them. They have that idea in mind. They have the idea of intercession being Christ pleading with the Father not to punish us for our sins, not to deal harshly with us, and urging Him to bless us. In other words, making intercession in the way we normally think for somebody or to somebody who's unwilling to bless or to help or to do something for somebody else. But this is not true. It absolutely is not true. And really, all we have to do to understand that intercession cannot be that is when we realize and think about all the times in Scripture God has gone to great lengths to assure us and assure all His people that Christ has already put away our sins. He's already made an effectual atonement for our sin. His people have already been justified freely by His blood shed. They've already been redeemed. They've already and are already been saved by His grace in Christ crucified. Hold your place here and turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And I choose this verse because it shows an order that we need to see in order to see what intercession is really about. That 12th verse in Isaiah 53, Isaiah speaking of Christ, God says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In other words, those that He makes intercession for, He's already been identified with them. He's already been numbered with them before God. He's already bare the sin of this many. Now, He makes intercession for them. He makes intercession for them. And He has already finished the work of righteousness. He has already borne their sins in His own body on the tree. God has already accepted His work on their behalf. And Christ raised from the dead is the evidence of that. They're already justified, which is the best state a sinner can be in. They're already in this safe position. They're already in Christ. And Christ, because of what He has done, and because He is now raised up and makes intercession for us, He doesn't have to beg God for us. He doesn't have to plead with God to help us. He simply stands and ever lives and is a priest forever, and sits down at the right hand of God as the eternal proof of that. There are so many situations in this world, if you stop and think about it. If somebody is in a state or a situation which would seem that they would be awkward or in danger or something like that, but somebody standing in that position near them, all they have to do is not open their mouth. All they have to do is just be there. And when he speaks here of Christ ever living, and always that seemed to come up in description of his priesthood, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's a priest that ever lives to make intercession. And all those Old Testament priests that he's been compared to, all of them, they went into the Holy of Holies, they offered the sacrifice of animal blood, and they had to go out of there because it never, ever put away one sin. But Christ, it says, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So what Paul is saying, if he's the writer here in verse 25, is that they shall all, everyone for whom he gave himself and acted this role as a priest for God, sacrificing himself, they'll be saved to the uttermost because they're priests. Lives forever. In other words, his living presence in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies in heaven, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, his presence there is representative and proof that they are saved and shall be saved forever. It is never going to change. God does not have to be begged on their behalf. He does not have to be pleaded with by his priest and their priest for anything because they already have it. Everything, all spiritual blessings are in the one that stands at God's right hand. He abides the priest forever. They won't ever need another priest. They won't ever need another sacrifice. He abides this priest forever, and he stands there as the proof, the evidence, the example of how safe they are and shall be saved to the uttermost. Revelation 5 and verse 6. When John sees this vision in heaven, right in the middle of that heavenly vision, right in the middle of the people of God, right in the middle of the purpose of God and everything else, he sees Christ. But look at how he sees him. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. What does John see? He sees a lamb. He sees Christ in this redemptive person and priest. He sees the Lamb, and that actually says and means he sees the Lamb as if it had been newly slain. Newly slain. Never losing its efficacy. Never changing a bit. Always availing for the sins and the salvation of God's people. Always everything the same. He's the same in this priesthood. He's the same in this sacrifice. He's as one as a sacrifice offered and slain, newly slain. I remember one time preaching on this verse. And I entitled my message, Finished But Fresh. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has risen and now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, His presence assures the eternality of His sacrifice. His presence, His God has accepted. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to plead on our behalf. His blood has already pleaded on our behalf. And God has accepted Him. He sits there, or He is there, proof that we shall be saved to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what's going on the earth. It doesn't matter their particular situation or condition as far as this world is concerned. It doesn't matter about their health. It doesn't matter about world affairs. It doesn't matter about Republicans or Democrats. Nothing of that sort ever matters, because the priest is there. And he is representative. And he is representing the fact that God has already accepted His sacrifice on their behalf, and now He is accepted of God. God raised Him from the dead. He ever lives. You might say His presence is His intercession. So many people think that Christ in this intercession has to plead with God on behalf of His people. You see, the Father loves His people as much as the Son. They're one. He doesn't have to be entreated for us. He loves us in Christ with an everlasting love. And the fact that Christ is not going anywhere, that this is the basis upon which we're saved, forgiven, going to heaven, it's always going to be the same. God's people can't fall out of favor with Him. Every such notion as that, however it is displayed, not only about people get lost that have been saved, but also of people on certain occasions of doing certain things that they somehow are less favored of God. All of these things belittle the work of Christ. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at this wonderful verse. Verse 34. Let's look at verse 33 first. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You can't lay anything as a charge against God's elect to God, because it's God that justifies, declares them righteous. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What are the significant things there? Christ died. More so, Christ rose, because God had accepted his sacrifice on the behalf of his people. He's at the right hand of God, and he ever lives to make intercession. Just his presence there. Our surety, and that's the word that's used here, the guarantor. Our surety at God's right hand, having accomplished his work, is the basis of all our assurance. It's what he did. It's not how we feel. It's where he's at that guarantees our acceptance with God. He is there, and his presence is our intercession. Another way of seeing that is over here in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's always the exhortation, the command. You sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, Christ being our advocate is virtually the same as his making intercession for us. But he doesn't go about talking about what was done to get to this hour, what Christ done. He doesn't even rehash that work of righteousness. He said, if any man sin, and he will sin, and we do sin, but if any man sin, he has an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What's the basis of his advocacy? The fact that he's there. The fact that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The fact that he successfully put away the sins of his people. The fact that because he accomplished the will of God, God raised him up and seated him at the right hand, and his very presence there. Says so much. What I'm saying is, Christ isn't trying to get God to act differently than he wants to. He's not trying to make God do something that he doesn't want to do. Christ's presence stands as the reason he can maintain his character as God and bless and save and do all the things that he does for his people. His intercession holds forth the continuation as long as the priest is there. As long as God doesn't kick our priest out of heaven. As long as he stands there, his work is remembered not only by us, but by the Father himself. His presence there. Why is he there? Because he saved his people from their sins. He sits there at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and it becomes a throne of grace to us. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help because the priest is there. Christ's intercession holds forth the continuation of the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice. That it does forever remain in force as a full satisfaction for all the sins of all his people for all times. The Lord has told us, as long as you look up and see the sun, as long as you look up and see the moon, things are just like they should be. He's still in control. And as long as we can see by faith, our priest seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, it speaks volumes. Amazing volumes of how God has accepted his work. And this wonderful thought is full of divine consolation. And it's consolation to satisfy and help our often discouraged souls. And that's the reason for such verses, such expressions. Contrary to those priests, contrary to their work, contrary to their sacrifices, our priest, because of his sacrifice, because God accepted it, and he didn't have to come out of the place. He didn't have to come out of the Holy of Holies on earth, and he didn't have to come out of the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he's right there now. Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Where he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's there. It's kind of like, I remember a story, and I'm sure this has happened many times, where a young boy who just started to school, he got to being mocked and picked on by a bunch of older boys. And they were just about to whoop him, I guess you'd say. And they looked over there, and his older brother was standing over there like this. He wasn't saying a word. But they knew if they did something to that boy, they'd have to face him. And just his presence was a reminder to them as how things really are. And our high priest, his presence, he doesn't have to beg God for us. God can look at his son and see the reason, every reason for blessing us with everything. All he has to do is be there forever. And he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, I know how we are in this flesh. We have to think God is begging us, Christ is begging God for us, all this intercession by so many priests on the earth, and all a bunch of poppycock. If he's there, we accept it. If he's there, God has every reason and all the reason he needs to bless and help and save us. Because that's what a priest does. He represents a people before God. Our priest ever lives. That's a consolation. That's good news. Our Father, we thank you tonight for such a wonderful priest who by the sacrifice of himself has put away all our sins. We thank you for him, that he has been accepted fully by you, entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, and sat down. And just his presence there makes intercession for us. He ever lives as our priest and advocate. And if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank you for that consolation. We thank you for what your word says and what you emphasize, so that poor sinners like we are can have hope, be comforted, whatever our situation is on earth, whatever our condition is on earth, whatever our sins are on earth, we look to the advocate. We look to our priest, and we find that he's not moved. And we pray that you would enable us to be reminded of what he reminds you of. Finished salvation. A work of righteousness. Perfected, finished. So he sits down. We pray and we ask that all of your word might be blessed to our heart as you give us understanding, so that we might be comforted and encouraged and helped in Christ, in our priest. We thank you for it. And we thank you for his presence. We pray in his name. Amen.